And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. Good morning. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Man, we made it to a Thursday already. Just reading this political article from this past weekend about Trump's possible vice presidential choices.
Yeah, okay.
The list includes everyone from Tim Scott, Kristi Noem, Elise Stefanik. I guess they're not mentioning it anymore, even though Trump did mention it last in February. DeSantis, it's not going to be DeSantis.
Yeah. So.
But Tim Scott, Kristi Noem, Elise Stefanik, Tulsi Gabbard, J.D. Vance, Byron Donalds. Who would out of that group of people right there, would you think would be the best vice presidential candidate?
I like Byron Donalds.
We did not discuss this off the air, did we?
No, he's the only one in that group that really stands out.
Yep.
I mean, all of them are kind of the, okay, here's the list, and you know, there's a list, and then, oh, because of the nature of Byron Donalds is to not back down, to have that conviction on the issues, to be able to talk to the media and handle the media at every turn,
and connect the dots,
and never flinch.
And of all of them, he is the one that I could see could run for president in 4 years.
I could see that.
Even though he's a congressperson, that doesn't matter anymore.
No.
Remember, well, if you're a senator or a governor, but
yeah, right.
Even a governor doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't apply. Matter. Yeah. Right. And I think that would be, I mean, that's my pick. That would be my pick.
Because I don't, and what is my number one reason? He's the best communicator of all of them.
Yeah.
That's why.
Right. Yep.
And others may disagree, but in politics, communicating the message effectively is what wins you elections.
There's a big thing, maybe elephant in the GOP living room, that you look at in a situation like this, and that is, all right, baggage. If you serve as a VP, there's going to be any baggage. And it does. It's not just Trump. It's anybody you serve under, serve with. I think it's my opinion, and I could be wrong, but I believe out of that list, and I think I'm right about this, Byron Donalds is the best to weather that because of his communication skills, and also his. You know, I mean, he has a very, again, strong conviction on the issues. And that's the type of independence where you can go on and he can handle anything that's going on in the media and still stay on and get back to the issues very quickly. Others tend to, you know, shy away from that and well, I know that if we want to, and but he's not that. And a direct communicator is something that I think that that the party, the GOP, is going to need in the future, because we have to look beyond Trump if Trump wins.
Being blunt and being a critical thinker.
Yep.
It's not just about being blunt. You got to have both.
Right.
You're a critical thinker and you're blunt.
Yep.
And you can be blunt. You can justify the bluntness of your presentation at times. But with Donald's, he may be blunt, but you don't perceive him at all as ever having an attitude of meanness.
No, no.
Or even aggressiveness.
No. So no, he's straight to the point.
So it's his kind of bluntness with being able to back it up with his critical thinking skills that are clear once you see him speak for 30 seconds. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This guy's communicating a message to me. I like where he's going. I like where he's going.
Yep.
You know, I used to like Tim Scott, but Tim Scott destroyed himself when he ran for president.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the last year. He just wasn't good. I mean, not that he didn't. He just didn't. He sounded like he sounded a lot like Reagan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, Reagan's style was great for when it was at that time. But right now, people want problem solvers.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you can't be optimistic about what a great country the United States is, because it is the greatest country, I believe. But you have to know what the political mood is at the time, and that's why Tim Scott never resonated. Because what you have now, and the public has recognized it, and we have said this is why we believe that the Republicans should listen to us, and one of their slogans should be, Democrats cannot, I've added to it, by the way, Democrats cannot and will not solve our problems because they created the
problems.
No,
that's a great improvement. That's good.
You like that?
You know what's interesting I was thinking of? Earlier I was thinking, because you couldn't substitute cannot. I was actually thinking this. You cannot substitute cannot with will not, because that doesn't go far enough. Using them both is exactly what you need, because you need to demonstrate exactly where we are. They cannot do it. They will not do it. And the reason is because they caused them.
Yep.
And that should be from here on.
And you may want to go with the more, I don't know why, but cause may be better than created. But then created, created might be more. No, you could use cause. The Democrats.
We'll workshop it.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're workshopping it, but the message should be something like that, because then you could point it out. And I could see Byron Donalds on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
Promoting that. Promoting that.
That's another thing.
And then going campaigning? Point by point by point by point.
I think he's going to be campaigning for Trump, even if he's not the V pick. But still, if he's on that ticket, man. He's going to be so. That's an asset that you can't put a price on, because of his conviction, because of, again, being blunt, straightforward, being able to handle the media, and he's proven in that regard.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s. The breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
And now you may have political strategists advising Republicans saying, no, you want Donald's because he's black. And you see the movement of more blacks willing to vote for Trump. And that would be a political reason. Mm-hmm. I could understand them advising Trump of that. But that to me is so way down the list as to just what an excellent communicator he is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Such a great. And I understand the demographics. Okay, if he's black, but, you know, and so here's the thing, too. If he's put on there, you could hear the Democrats attacking him for being, oh, the token black and, you know, in a Trump administration.
Yeah, yeah.
But that doesn't sell well if you see him communicate.
Yeah, look.
You're not going to be able to win that one.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
So, yeah. It's funny because we did not discuss this at all beforehand when I saw the list. And I said, okay, let me just ask Eric. And I said, I could just see you. I was like, I bet you he picks Donald.
Without a doubt.
That's who, to me, is far and above anybody else on that list.
Yeah. And that's what we need. We need public servants, like more public servants like Byron Donalds. The GOP needs them in the party badly. But, you know, one of the problems would be is that the House loses Byron Donalds. You know? And so there's that, but the fact of the matter is that it would be for a much greater role and future. That's what you have to look at in 28, what's going to happen. And I think when you look at Byron Donalds has a future regardless of who Trump picks or, you know, what Byron Donalds does right now. He's going to, if he wants it, he's going to be a viable candidate in the future. You know, the problem, again, is with any administration is that, okay, you carry the baggage of, if you're a vice president, you carry the baggage of the president, and you can't get around that. Well, Byron Donalds is best to handle that. Not that there won't be baggage. But he is independent in a way, even though he's, I think, a you know, very strong supporter, obviously, of the party. He's independent in a way that allows him to clearly do that. And we've been talking about communication for how long now? It seems like forever that the GOP needs to get their communication game down, and they haven't been able to do that.
And he's also a financial guy, so he can talk about things like budget, Social Security, everything else.
Yeah.
And that's what he's done. Now, the reason that he might not run is he's young enough at 45, where it's like he may want to say, I don't want to attach myself to Trump's political career. I don't want to be part of Trump's baggage. Yeah. And as an individual looking at where is my political career going, because he stands on his own.
Yeah.
He's not someone out there that you might say, well, he needs Trump to boost his political career.
Right.
He's going to have one. He's that strong of a personality. And so he might not.
Right.
You know, that would be a reason that I would if he did not do it, I think that might be a reason. It's like DeSantis.
Yeah, sure.
Because people are still telling me, well, no, it's got to be DeSantis. And you see DeSantis at the top of the list for, like, Republicans.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. DeSantis is not going to attach his political career to Trump. He's not just not going to do it. That's not going to happen.
Right. Nope.
And if it is, it'd be like, whoa, that would be amazing. I don't see that happening.
Well, we always get to this point, and it turns into the dream ticket thing. And we get it.
Yeah.
We know that. But you're talking about two standalone candidates that have both run in the primary of this cycle. And Byron Donalds adds something to the ticket. Not that DeSantis wouldn't. But DeSantis is independent of Trump in a way as governor that politically he looks at his future and it's standalone. I'm, you know, not going to tie myself to anybody else. I'd be very surprised if that changed.
Now, the only thing is, in 97, he was charged with marijuana possession.
Hmm.
In 2000, he pleaded no contest to a felony theft charge for allegedly attempting to defraud a bank by depositing a bad check, but later the record was sealed and expunged, and it didn't affect him in winning his. And I don't know what that was about.
Right.
But that's part of.
Well, that's part of the vetting process.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And you know, that's, we'll see where that plays out. Look, the problem is long term, and you're going to run into a number of them. Do you go with someone who has already been vetted? I mean, DeSantis has been vetted, but he's not going to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as they say, PolitiFact back a few years ago, according to an attorney consulted by PolitiFact, Donalds would not have been able to get his record expunged if the state had considered him a convicted felon.
Okay.
So what they're saying is the record was sealed and expunged. They said, okay, they didn't.
That wasn't
see
a felony
anything.
Then.
They didn't see anything rising to the level of a felony for the
check.
All right.
All right.
So the fact that it was sealed, you don't know.
Right.
You don't know where to go
right.
on it.
Right.
So, but I still don't think that would affect him, but that's something in the vetting process that you would be concerned about if you're looking at somebody like him. So
right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
The inaugural USDA National Topsoil Moisture Report for 2024 reveals for the period ending March 31st,
32% very short to short and 9% surplus. That's actually a little drier than we started in 2023. If you look back to the same time a year ago, we were sitting at 24% very short to short, and our surplus topsoil and moisture number was actually 19%.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says precipitation has fallen broadly across the country in the time since the end of March.
So I think we'll see some improvements in these numbers looking ahead to next week.
Yet the March 31st date revealed widespread dryness in the nation's midsection.
Almost all the states coming in with those higher topsoil moisture shortages are across the middle part of the country, east of the Rockies, and generally from the Mississippi westward.
I'm Ron Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, the strange thing about this entire election is the fact of we're just to April, and, you know, the primaries are done.
Yeah.
You know, this is really unusual to get to this point.
Mm.
Maybe not for the incumbent.
Yeah.
But for the challenger, who is like an incumbent.
Yeah, you basically have two incumbents,
right.
Really.
And so you have the general election running right now. The other thing is, and you and I think talked briefly about this off air the other night, that I can't remember if it was off air or on air, that the donors are starting to line up for Trump now.
Yeah, it seemed, I don't know if it had to do with what was going on with him posting bail on the New York case, or what happened with his merger deal with a media company, or we're just getting to that time of the year in an election cycle where it's the donors are just going to come to the table. Or they're seeing, maybe they're seeing polls. It could be all the above. You know, they could be seeing the polls going, okay, all right. How much of this stuff is going to weigh down Trump, you know? And then they see the sentiment right now more and more going toward Trump, not away from Trump, away from Biden. That's money well spent. You want to keep that momentum going. So I think it's probably safe to say a bit of all the above. There is great concern with some of the donors. You know, they had to make the statement. The RNC had to make the statement, hey, we're not going to, this isn't going to be any legal defense money. You know, that was good. That was a great concern of donors. But, you know, going directly to the campaign, there's also that concern. But those wallets have been opening up here in the last week or two. And we'll see where that war chest goes. You know, you see Biden out there with celebrities and other former presidents and the big fundraisers. Well, keep in mind, in 2016, Hillary spent more money than Donald Trump. And that is often the case. It's not just about the money you raise. I mean, you still have to raise a lot of money. But these stories of, oh, well, Biden raised this and, you know, Trump didn't raise that. This is a grassroots thing that has held since 2016. That is not going to change his base. So the money is going to be about those independents, those swing states, and everything in between. And I really don't think it's going to be a problem for him long term. I think now we're coming out of that phase of uncertainty, clearly, with those donors. So we'll see where that goes next. But it will be interesting to watch because, as you said, it's unique. You know, the primary is basically behind us.
It's over, yeah.
You know, so.
And it has been.
And it has been.
For a month.
Since they reached their numbers. Yep. So, yeah.
Soon, they'll be going into a deep dive. Make time. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. The Department of Energy said that it canceled its plans to purchase millions of barrels of oil to refill the depleted U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve because oil prices are too high. In canceling the SPR purchase, the Energy Department said it was keeping the taxpayers' interest at the forefront of its buyback plan, which is to refill the depleted reserves as long as the price remains below $79 per barrel.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have taken the oil in the first place and put us in this situation.
Hey, you know what they could do to lower the prices so they could buy some to put it back in is to release some. Yeah, can't do that.
Yeah, you know, so release some to lower the price again.
Which is what they wanted.
Then you can buy it.
And what was it, a blip on the scale when they did that?
Yeah, it was nothing. Didn't do anything.
Just stupid. What a horrible decision over and over again we've seen on how many fronts now, these ideas And it did nothing. Did nothing. And now, oh, by the way, thanks for broadcasting it to all of our enemies that we can't afford to pony up for the SPR.
Well, look, we've spent a lot of time today talking about the complete idiocy of the left. Everything starting out from the National Organization of Women mm-hmm. coming out and going after people like Riley Gaines and others who say biological men should not be playing against biological women, and these insane representatives of the National Organization of Women call the fact that these women are fighting to keep women's sports women, they call that white supremacist, I almost said plutocracy, patriarchy.
Yeah.
I mean, you had that. Then you've got the entire thing with Buttigieg. Well, people who don't want to go to electric vehicles. By the way, he's talking more like John Kerry these days.
Yeah.
People who don't wish to go to, he doesn't sound like him, but he talks like him.
Yeah, right.
That people who don't want electric vehicles, well, these are the people that in the 2000s you would have thought were nuts if they wanted to keep their landline phone. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
And then this here, where when they released it, what they proved was if we had a national goal of maximizing all the potential of natural gas and oil, we could lower prices. They admit it. And this is the thing about Democrats. They constantly contradict themselves.
Yep.
Right here is another example of that.
Yep.
And it's nuts. Absolutely crazy.
Well, and it compromises national security in the case of the SPR, and everybody knows that. But yeah, we shouldn't expect anything less from the current so-called commander in chief.
I found this interesting National Review: why colleges are dying. Just some stats here.
Yeah.
And a great point made. Talking about here, it said, DEI, the decline of conservative representation among the professionals is a decades-long phenomenon and has reached its terminus. Like medieval monasteries, progressive universities take it upon themselves to create an image of the perfect society and bring through themselves the blessings and moral transformation that will redeem the rest of the world. Many of them now invest more resources in managing student life than in educating young people and forming them to take up leadership roles in society, which was their original purpose. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Now, these are the true stats. Johns Hopkins has 7.5 administrators for every professor.
Wow.
Yale has 5,000 managerial and professional staff and 4,703 undergraduate students in the recent academic year. Every potential problem a student may have is met by not only a counselor, but an entire bureaucracy. It's as if the progressive blob wishes students to expect enormous and lavish bureaucracies to manage social interaction as a way of life, so that when students leave campus, they recreate such authorities through the human resources departments and DEI offices in the corporate world.
Yeah.
Wow, what a great line.
I'm sorry. Why is it that college is so expensive?
Yep.
You know, what's interesting is I wonder, even aside from the agendas on these campuses, the future of what young people are going to look for or what they'll look for in the future from these universities. Look, you're looking to get a degree, a degree in a field that is going to help you earn. You're interested in it. You believe you're going to earn from it. And I, again, this is anecdotal. My grandkids, my granddaughters, one of whom is in college now, and what she wants to do, and her sisters, the same thing. They know what they want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at that, they also have a very direct approach. It's because the world is right there at their fingertips. If they can't learn it from a university, they can Google it. Now, that doesn't apply to most fields like, you know, being an electrician, being a nurse, being a doctor, being a surgeon, all those things. But the point is that gathering the information, the process of gathering that information, learning, for them has always been very direct. So when you have these campuses that are filled with a lot of things that have nothing to do with the education itself, how much does the demand change long term? I have to believe a lot.
Well, your grandkids are asking questions.
Yep.
About what's going on.
Yep.
What happened to rebellion of young people?
Right.
Because when
right.
you see here the way that they talked about Yale and the way they talked about the fact of, you know, there are more managerial staff than the number of undergraduates.
Mm-hmm.
Johns Hopkins, there are seven times the amount of administrators as there are professors.
Right.
And you look at college today and anything that you go through, they don't just want to, they just don't want to teach you. They want to mold your mind for outside of the college.
Yep.
Could you imagine when I went to college, if anybody dared to do that to me or anybody else that I grew up with who went to college? I remember complaining that, you know, to, you know, my professors, you know, saying this curriculum's got to be better. This just, I mean, it just stinks. You're not teaching us anything.
Right.
And I was angry. And there were other people that were angry as I was.
Yeah.
It's like, we're paying our money for this.
Right.
Do you think that even as an 18, 19, 20, 21, or 22-year-old, if you talk about, you know, the ages of people who are in colleges, that I would have ever permitted any professor or any of my friends would have ever permitted any of our professors to tell us what our life should be like? I just wanted to go to class, learn what it was, learn whatever I needed to learn, pass the test, and my whole goal was to get a job. The last thing, and that's why I asked the question, where's the rebellion in the youth? Where's the rejection of authority in youth?
Right. I wonder if it is right now on the rise, but the rebellion isn't as outward as it used to be back in our day, that the rebellion sends them basically in another direction to find a solution or an answer somewhere else. I don't know.
But or just be afraid to confront, as we know.
Right.
You know, you brought you brought up when you had those, you know, the conservative reporters go to the college campuses and said, well, if you can see I'm only 5'3", if I told you I was 6'3", would you agree that I was 6'3"? Well, again, you know, and you could tell that the students were all saying,
right,
you're completely full of it, but I can't tell you that because I'm afraid, because that is the culture of what they've been taught in college.
Right.
It's like nobody in my age group would have ever permitted a college to dictate to me the way that, you know, or dictate to me or force to me that I must live a way of life that they're living. We would have never agreed to that.
No.
Ever. We would have said,
no,
get out of here. Go to hell.
Right.
We need to tell me. What do you mean to teach me what I need to know? Don't instruct me that I should be living your insane life, or the insane narrative that you believe is a good life to live, because I reject that. Why? Because we cared about autonomy and freedom. We wanted to be individuals.
In fact, it was what you were trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
At that time. Yeah. That's what you were seeking at that time.
Yeah, I didn't go to college to become part of a commune mindset.
Right.
And I wasn't afraid to say it. And it's like, yeah, but they'd come after you today. Go ahead.
Right. And?
Worst you can do is kick me out of college.
Right.
And I'm telling you right now, the way college is, I probably would have been out before they kicked me out.
Right.
Because I would have looked at their return on the investment and say, are you out of your freaking mind?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
See some of the top colleges, $90,000?
Yeah.
For what?
For what? Yeah.
I'm paying $90,000 for you to start preaching to me the insane narrative of your pitiful life? Are you kidding me? To tell me that I must be part of a group mind think?
Yeah.
Mindset, mind think set, whatever.
I tend to believe, and maybe I'm just being overly optimistic, but I tend to believe that in the next 10 years or so, 10 years from now, we can look at the college campuses, not every one, but the system overall in higher education, and it will be different because I think the mindset does change. There's no way it can't.
Well, there's ebb and flows. There have been all throughout society.
Sure, and the agenda stuff doesn't get you a paycheck. I mean, even if you're going to get into, I don't know, DEI administrative work, that's not going to last. That's not a growing field. Right now, it seems to be going the other direction.
Yeah, my bachelor's degree is in DEI. My master's. Is in wokeness, and my PhD is a PhD in PhD, pilot higher and deeper.
Yeah. Exactly.
866-90 Red Eye.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. The phrase I was thinking of was groupthink. When I was talking about, you know, I didn't go to college. I went to college to learn stuff so I could get a job. I didn't learn it. We're talking about, you know, colleges today, and
right.
The amount of administrators they have more administrators at Yale than they do students, and it's like they handle every part of their life. You know, there's a bureaucracy for everything. And as we know, what's going on these campuses is to get you to buy in or coerce you into the narrative of the groupthink.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's something that when we went to college, nobody would have put up with that at all. The students would not have put up with that. It would have been, who the hell do you think you are to tell me that I have to abide by your stupid groupthink narrative? I'm not. Right. I don't want to think like you, and I'm not going to think like you.
Right. Yeah.
Like I said, well, we'll kick you out of campus. I would have been gone before we got to that point.
Right. You don't have to kick me out.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gone to that college. I would have known before I went in.
Right.
And so, but that's the one thing I wonder, where is the rebellion against authority or blind authority? I don't want to just say authority, but blind authority.
Yeah.
That you must, without question, adhere to what we say because we're the authority no matter what you think about it.
Well,
sorry, I'm going to college. You're not taking away my...
And you brought up, you know, are they... one question, are they intimidated? Well, and if they are, what do they do in that case? Well, then you're going to rebel by doing what? Leaving.
And that's happening.
That's happening. We're seeing that happen.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen. Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.